made of a molecularly thin plastic awning, reflective white on top and UV-absorbent blue-green underneath. Barely an hour had passed since the Yamagata supersonic jet transport had landed Dan and George at San Remo on the Italian Riviera. From the deck of the yacht, the magnificent old hotel and casino stood white and colonnaded against the hills that glittered with row upon row of hothouses where Europe's finest flowers were cultivated. Malik had suggested a meeting place outside Paris, claiming he was afraid that Gaetano had him under surveillance. Dan did not entirely believe the Russian, but Nobuhiko suggested the yacht at San Remo. It belonged to Yamagata Industries. It was safe and unbugged. Now Nobo sat between Malik and Dan. Big George was up on the bridge with the skipper, hugely enjoying the first time he had been on the water in more than 10 years, even though the yacht lay at anchor.
"I have a medical team on its way," said Nobo.
"We're here to get Jane back," Dan said. "Everything else can wait." Malik inclined his head slightly as if conceding the point, but he said,
"May I remind you that, technically, you are under arrest. You are in no position to make demands."
Nobo's eyes shifted from the Russian to Dan, who put on a grim smile and replied, "May I remind you, in the real world, that Jane's being held hostage by a bunch of bastards who say they'll let her go only when they get their hands on me. I'm a valuable property, pal. That is the only thing that is keeping you out of jail at the moment," said Malik.
Dan's nostrils flared. "And the only thing that's keeping me from throwing you the hell over the side and into the drink is that I double-damn need you and the capabilities of the GEC to find where they're holding Jane and rescue her."
"You have no intention of trading yourself for her?" Malik asked. He was almost smirking. "What a surprise. I thought that at last you would show some shred of altruism, some particle of self-sacrifice."
The air between the two men seemed to crackle like the filaments in a spark tube.
"Listen, Vasily," Dan said, hunching toward the Russian until their noses were barely an inch apart. "I'll do what has to be done. But I have no intention of going in like a lamb to the slaughter. They're not going to let Jane go no matter what I do, and we both know that."
"I do not know that," said Malik.
Dan leaned back in his canvas chair. He looked into Malik's ice-blue eyes.
"Just how much do you know?"
"What do you mean?"
"Are you working for them? Are you part of this double-damned mafia operation?"
"Certainly not." "Then prove it."
Dan jabbed a finger at the Russian. "Cut all this bullshit and give us the help we need to find her." Malik stared back at Dan intently. Finally, he made a small smile and waved one hand in the air.
"Very well. I propose a truce between us, until Jane is safe once again."
"A truce," Dan echoed.
"I will forget that you are a wanted fugitive," said Malik. "Until Jane is safe."
A small grin returned to Dan's face. "And I'll forget that I'd rather feed you to the fishes."
"That seems like an excellent arrangement to me," said Nobo.
"Okay." Dan put out his hand. Malik hesitated for just a moment, then took it. Dan was surprised by the strength of his grip. "If I find out he really is working with Gaetano and the rest of those thugs, I'll kill him," Dan said to himself. At the same time, Malik thought, "Perhaps the hoodlums will kill him and save me the trouble afterward."
"Shall we go to work now?" Nobo asked.
"By all means."
Nobo picked up the portable phone beside his chair and said,
"Please bring up the map."
A moment later, Tamara Duchamp emerged from below deck wearing a flowered bikini beneath a filmy beach coat. She carried a square electronic display map in both hands. Dan saw Malik eyeing her, and it made him angry the way a father would simmer at a man's lecherous ogling of his daughter. Then he noticed how Nobo looked at her, and how she looked back at him. He's really fallen for her, Dan saw. He's in orbit, and she doesn't mind it a bit. Tamara put the flat display map on the low table before the men and managed to touch Nobo's hand before she stepped back behind his chair. He reached up and nuzzled her hand. She beamed a smile at him. Dan grinned widely,
Looks like Sai is going to get the grandson he wanted. Then Nobuhiko became businesslike again. Pointing to the map, he said, "The security team that I had watching over Jane was under orders not to risk her life. That is why they allowed the kidnappers to take her."
Malik muttered, "That is their excuse for failing to stop the kidnappers."
Nobo glanced at Dan, who let his disgust with Malik show on his face.
"Sir," he said to the Russian, "5 men and 1 woman let themselves be killed rather than risk Jane's life. The leader of the team killed himself after making his report to me."
Malik said nothing.
"Before she died," Nobo went on, "the woman managed to plant a homing device on the helicopter that carried Jane away from Paris. The helicopter landed here, near Lyon."
He tapped the map.
"And then you lost track of her," said Malik.
Before Nobo could reply, Dan said, "But you can help us pick up the trail, Vasily."
"I? How?"
"The surveillance satellites. The World Meteorological Center keeps the satellite tapes on file, don't they?"
"I suppose they do, but Jane's abduction happened less than 48 hours ago. They took her to this private airport, and we assumed that they transferred her to another plane and flew her somewhere else. We can scan the satellite tapes to see the planes that left that airport during the critical time period and track them to their destinations."
Malik rubbed his chin.
"Yes, I suppose that is possible, if the tapes have sufficient resolution. If they don't, there are the military systems and the peacekeepers' satellites. They can read the fly specs on a postage stamp."
"Then we should go to the peacekeepers first," said Malik.
"Okay, good," Dan said.
"2 things, though. It's got to be done fast. No hang-ups from the usual red tape, and it's got to be done in absolute secrecy. If they know we're tracking them, they'll move Jane again."
Malik nodded. "I can get the commander of the peacekeepers to help us. He is a Swede. I know him well. And I doubt that even the Mafia has infiltrated the international peacekeeping force."
"Assume nothing," Dan warned. "If you and the IPF commander can work this out with nobody else in the loop, that would be best."
"I understand."
"What do we do in the meantime?" Nobo asked. "The 48 hours are almost up."
"I will contact Gaetano and tell him that you are on your way to me," said Malik. "I will ask him for instructions on how and where to deliver you in exchange for Jane."
"Good enough," said Dan, adding silently, "I hope." He turned to Nobuhiko. "We won't be able to use peacekeepers' troops, Nobo. They're forbidden from anything that doesn't involve aggression between national groups."
"I know," said Nobo. "Yamagata will supply you with all the muscle you need. It would be difficult for me to stop my people from trying to avenge their friends' deaths."
It was night. A cool breeze swept across the water, pushing low clouds past the smiling moon. Dan saw the twinkling lights of San Remo as the anchored yacht bobbed on the swells. People there are going to dinner and gambling at the casino, and living their lives just as if there's no greenhouse cliff, no disaster staring them in the face. Everything we've done so far hasn't put a dent in their awareness. Maybe nothing will until it's too late. The breeze gusted and he shivered.
"You should get medical attention," said Tamara softly in the shadows.
Dan turned and saw that she had wrapped a windbreaker around herself, though her long, lithe legs were still bare. She held another jacket out to Dan. He was still in the woolen shirt and chinos he had been wearing since the helicopter picked him and Big George out of the snow of the Himalayas. In the heat of the Mediterranean afternoon, he had felt comfortable. Now he was chilled.
"Thanks,"
he said, pulling on the nylon jacket.
"We just got word from the Yamagata spaceport at Alphonsus. Kate Williams left yesterday."
"Yesterday? Where is she heading?"
"The space station Nueva Venezuela."
"And from there?" She shrugged. Dan thought a moment. "Wherever she's going, it's probably where Gaetano is, which is probably where Jane is, too."
"Very likely," said Tamara.
"I'd better tell Nobo. Maybe he can track her."
"I've already told him. Yamagata personnel aboard the lunar shuttle will follow her."
"Good." He looked into her almond eyes. "You and Nobo have hit it off very well." Even in the darkness, he could see her dazzling.